Thank you, Steve. It is Bill Leff. He is back from vacation, and it's Wendy Snyder here. And I know for the most part we like to goof around and have fun on the air. But sometimes you have to think about the serious problems that are going on around us. And Tim Ryan is in the studio from A Man in Recovery Foundation, AMIRF.org. That's the website. Want to throw it out there right away. Tim, just looking on Facebook, the holidays come up. Some people get very depressed around the holidays. It never fails where I see some Facebook post of someone that lost a child due to heroin. How do we stop this? I know that's what you're trying to do, well, but really.
You know, it's getting worse. I was just up in Crystal Lake on Saturday attending my 103rd wake since my son Nicholas died 2 years ago. And at this wake, there was three other mothers there, and I've buried all their kids in the past year. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. Overdose deaths went from 120 people a day to 129 a day. Now it's 144.
A day?
A day. I think those numbers are still low. Yeah, we have a friggin' pandemic going on, and nobody's doing anything about it. No one.
Well, I know you're trying to, and you work hand-in-hand with Banyan Treatment Centers.
Yep.
And I know there are people listening now who have a kid or some loved family member that is having a heroin issue. Maybe they don't have insurance. Maybe they don't know where to turn. Where do they start?
They pick up the phone and call me and ask for help. You know, you can reach us at our phone number at 844-611-4673. My full-time job, I'm chief marketing officer for Banyan Treatment Center. We have a facility in Florida, Naperville, Boston, Mass. But unfortunately, we only take people with good insurance, PPO or cash pay. That's where Man in Recovery Foundation comes in. Whether you have an HMO policy, you have state insurance, you have no insurance, we can help you. I was just in the green room paying for two more people to go to treatment. I have two facilities in South Carolina where our foundation will pay for these indigent people that have no insurance to go to for four-month programs. And that's all out of our foundation.
Let's go back to something you said a few minutes ago, Tim. You said the problem's getting worse and nobody's doing anything about it. You have some experience, some very sad experience in this realm. If we could change something to make this problem get better, what would be the first thing we would change?
We need to drop the stigma. We need to treat substance abuse as a progressive and chronic disease. The American Medical Association in 1956, alcoholism, progressive, it's not treated like a disease. Wendy, you loser, quit doing drugs. You come from a good family.
I gotta read this to you because it's so funny you said that. 708 has just texted us. I started doing heroin when I was 35, which, you know, I'm thinking you've made it to 35. Why do you even start? I finally stopped in 2011, 8 years later, only because texts are coming in so quickly, only because I got arrested for shoplifting. I come from a great family and it devastated them. Now, 6 years later, I have to take Suboxone. Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Because the urge to use is still very prevalent. I hope that if you are listening, reach out to someone and get clean. Life is so much better.
Bam. So let's talk about Suboxone. There's maintenance programs out there. Methadone, Suboxone, and Vivitrol. I was on methadone. I was on Suboxone in 2002. There's all the treatment centers nationwide are jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, well, here, we'll give you a pill. Suboxone, methadone.
Are you replacing one addiction for another?
In my view, 100%.
Yet it works for some people.
Well, it works for some. I debate with a lot of people. Suboxone, when it came out, was supposed to be used for short-term detox. It's not supposed to be used for long-term maintenance. There's not a bunch of studies. It takes away your emotional capabilities, but it's like telling Derek, if you're drinking a bottle of vodka a day, just drink a case of beer and you'll be fine. You can't cure a spiritual condition, a spiritual malady, with another chemical, with another pill. And I'm picking up the pieces from the people that are on Suboxone that lose their insurance. They can't pay for it anymore. You think kicking heroin's bad? This poor lady that's been on Suboxone for 6 years, trying to get off that, it's going to take her 2 years to wean off that. 2 years minimum. Are there people that are doing well? Yes. But you get a lot. You're talking about a drug addict. So you're telling me to go take Suboxone or go to the methadone clinic and don't abuse alcohol, cocaine, marijuana, anything else, and get into recovery. there if treatment centers or places that were doing this were truly testing and had a 90-day window to get someone off it and were making sure they weren't abusing anything else, I'd sign up for it all day long. I would back it 1,000%, but they're not doing that. Banyan Treatment Center were one of the only places that is an abstinence-based treatment center. Now, from a getting into recovery, you can do a 12-step-based program, a Christian-based, Buddhist-based, smart recovery, see a therapist, but you better change every aspect of your life. There is no silver bullet. One pill is not going to cure a heroin addiction. Come on, man, grow up. Let's get real here. And I'm the guy that'll talk about it. And I got a lot of haters.
You do have a lot of haters, Tim, but I don't know how. And if you are hating right now on Tim Ryan and you need help, he'll still take your phone call.
All day long. I had a kid that messaged me. I actually sent him to South Carolina, and I kicked him out of one of my support groups because I found out he was trying to sell Klonopin to the girls. Well, what he told me was he was trying to impress them, and he reached out to me from a local hospital crying, and I said, look, you were friends with my son. I said, I'll help anyone. Even if you burn me, I'll help you because I don't want you to die. The kid's now 3 weeks sober, doing well. I'll help anybody. But you got to be willing to help yourself. Getting sober isn't easy.
Does something horrible and tragic have to happen in order for you to want to quit?
Absolutely not. No, no. You don't have to go to prison like I do. You don't have to
lose
a brother, a friend, whatever. You got. Look at Derek. 22 years old, coming up on a year clean and sober, a number of treatment centers, but he wasn't ready to get sober, were you?
No, not at all. Not by
what
any
means. What finally made you ready?
So for me, I'm...
Congratulations, by the
thank
way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So I'm what we like to call a hard-headed person, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I had to experience enough pain, unfortunately, to where, for me, where I ended up on sitting on the edge of Lake Michigan with a gun in my mouth, ready to shoot myself. You know what I mean? So, but you don't have to get to the points to where, you know, Tim's been to prison. I've been ready to commit suicide. You know, this, that, and the third. You can realize, like, through our struggles and through what we went through that, you know, you don't have to get there and you can get clean before it gets to that point.
But did you listen to other people that told you that before? Because that's my problem. Someone's listening right now going, yeah, easy for you to say, but...
See, for me, like, you know, I've known Tim for about 2 or 3 years, and, you know, he kept trying to preach this and preach that, and I didn't want to hear anything about it. You know what I mean? I wanted nothing to do with recovery. For me, personally, I wasn't ready, and I had to get to that point. But, you know, what's your outlook on it, Tim?
Well, I don't like the word preach. I share my experience, strength, and hope. Yeah.
But he's hearing it as preaching because he wasn't ready to hear it.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
And until you're ready, you need to go out. Some people need more pain. Mm-hmm. I needed to lose my family, be sitting in prison, have Shannon divorce me. And even when I got out, you know, when Nick died, I was in recovery then. I went to meetings. But you don't have to go to the depths I went to. There's a lot of young people in recovery, and, you know, these people think, well, I'm just going to try it. I didn't pick up heroin until I was 32 years old. 32. A year sober, I tried one bag of heroin, and it took me down 12-year road to utter hell and destruction.
Derek, my guess is you lost some friends or family to heroin.
Yeah, I've lost a good amount of friends. A lot of gentlemen on my father's side are opiate addicts, not necessarily heroin, but pain pills.
So when you would lose somebody, though, You realize the consequence of how deadly this could be. Why would you still use it when you go, boy, all it takes is one bad move and I'm done?
When it comes to this disease, death doesn't scare a person like me. Jail doesn't scare a person. Nothing really scared me. You know what I mean? Because the pull of the drug for me was so strong that everything else was irrelevant. Family, friends, money, job, everything in life was irrelevant besides getting that one drug and getting my next high.
You live to use, you use to live.
Yep. And that's where it becomes a disease because, you know, Bill asked you a great question. You lost all these people. You know it's inevitable. You will die from using it, but you're not thinking it that way.
Or you think, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. I know who my drug dealer is. I know what I'm buying. No, you don't, but that's what the disease tells you. And that's why when people, a lot of the people that are dying are your first-time users, people mixing, people that had some recovery, whether it was in jail or treatment, and go and use again, and their tolerances have dropped, and they die. I mean, I'm sick and tired of going to funerals.
Sure.
All right. Bonnie has been on hold since before you called in. And Bonnie, this is Tim Ryan. If you need more information, you can go to amirf.org, a man in recovery foundation.org, 844-611-HOPE. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hi, Tim. My name is Bonnie, and I lost my daughter, my only child, Heidi, this past September.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
She was 43 years old. At 17, I found out that she was using drugs. She had stolen some money. She was in high school at Lake Forest. She graduated from Lake Forest High School. When she sold the money, she needed it to pay her drug dealer. They made a deal with her that she would introduce who her drug dealer was. He worked at the local Burger King in downtown Lake Forest, which they didn't have any drive-ins. They didn't allow them. That facility is no longer there. They got rid of it. But she introduced an undercover policeman and woman as her aunt and uncle, so they were able to infiltrate this big drug ring that was going on. And this is in 1989. This is 2017. It's still going on. She went into her first treatment to the same hospital that she died in.
Oh.
And, she was 17. She was 43. And I'm doing okay. The thing is, there are so many, the people that are affected. I want to do something with the rest of my life to help the people, to help the parents, because I've done a pretty good job of hanging on to my sanity. People say to me all the time when they find out that my only child died of a heroin overdose, they say, I don't think I could go on living. Well, I have a strong faith. You talked about spirituality just a short time. People who are drug addicts don't want to hear about spirituality because they don't have it. They're willing to give up their own children. My daughter has a 22-year-old son. He was raised by his father and grandparents in Lake Forest, and he's doing well.
Still no mother. And what can Bonnie do to help other parents?
There's a lot you can do, Bonnie. You know, whether it's helping with the foundation like mine. There's other ones up in your neck of the woods. We run a number of support groups where we have the families and people struggling come together. And I have parents, Carolyn Cassina, who's lost her son, John, and she comes every week and does Narcan training. And, you know, there's so many facets you can get into in sharing your story, the pain, the grief, the tragedy, but how you're able to move forward. You know, I don't know why God called my son Nick home, but it's part of my journey. And I don't want other parents going through what Bonnie has to go through. Losing her child, watching her daughter struggle for all these years. 1987, here we're 20 years later, and it's just getting worse. And we need to talk about it. And please send me an email, Bonnie, and I'd love to talk with you offline.
Thank you. I appreciate that help. And there's so many. Every single day I meet another person who has a grandchild or a child. And I have been asked to speak before a high school. I live in Lake Villa. I've been asked to speak by somebody on the Lake County Board before the high school when they talk about opiates and drug abuse this spring.
Get involved with it, the Lake County Opiate Initiative. Get involved.
Bonnie, hang on a minute. We'll get your information. Hold on 1 second. And continued healing, I guess I need to say. If you can get Bonnie's contact information, Tim, you can reach out to her. We need to take a break. 312-981-7200. I'm going to throw this out. A texter has just texted us, and I want you to think about it because I want an answer from this. And Bill, I'm sure we have this question too. A texter says, here's an idea. Don't try heroin for the first time.
Come back. When we come back, we'll go to that question.
Tim Ryan, a man in recovery foundation. His number, if you need some help, is 844-611-HOPE, 844-611-4673. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder, along with Tim Ryan from a Man in Recovery Foundation. you want to go to 844-611-HOPE. That's 844-611-4673. Derek also along telling his story. All kinds of phone calls for you, Tim, but there was a text that Wendy had just mentioned that we wanted to address.
Yeah, here's an idea. Don't try heroin for the first time. And I have to be honest with you. I have two teenage boys, and that's what I tell them, and that's what I think. And that's what a lot of us think, but that's not the case.
That's not reality. And you know, no one grows up and says, hey, I'm going to go do heroin when I'm 22. It's a great idea.
That's true.
You know, people are, there's so much peer pressure with technology today, the cell phones, trying to fit in with the Joneses, keep up with this crowd, that crowd. And it goes back to the weed. You know, a lot of these kids or people are at a party, they're stoned to the bone, the weed's so potent, their inhibitions are dropped, and someone comes up and says, here, try this. Okay, if they weren't intoxicated with alcohol or something else, they would have never done it. On the flip side, it's a prescription pain pills. Doctors are still over-prescribing. You don't go and give someone 40 Percocet or Percodan that just had four teeth pulled. It's a high-end potent painkiller. They eat them. They like the feeling. They get addicted. And
what is the feeling, though? Isn't it just nothing?
No, it's very euphoric. See, I'm a guy that I didn't like pain pills. I got three herniated discs in my lower back from when I used to compete in water skiing. I didn't like pills.
I get violently ill on them.
Yeah, well, and that's what the opiates do. You ultimately don't get weaned down properly. You get very ill. And someone says, okay, here, try heroin. It's everywhere. It is so accessible. It's easier to get a bag of heroin than it is a six-pack of beer.
So what happens? How come we are not thinking about lowering the age of drinking to 18 again? Don't you think with, I hate to admit it, but yeah, I might have had some drinks before I was 21, and we never touched heroin, and pot really wasn't that popular because we could get our, you know, six-pack of Strohs.
Right. Well, that was it. I was going up to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, drinking as a freshman in high school. People weren't getting DUIs. Times have changed drastically. You know, the medical marijuana, yes, it has its purpose. My answer is legalize everything. Legalize it all. Tax the hell out of it. It's going to eliminate a lot of the drug trade in Chicago. It's going to minimize a lot of the killing. Look at Portugal and some of these countries that have decriminalized it. Tax the hell out of it. They don't have the stigma. They don't have the issues.
They don't have the overdoses like we do?
God, no. Not at all. Not at all. I don't know what
is there
the
some rebellion that you think just because I'm not supposed to have it, I do it? Why do you not?
Curiosity. A lot of it is peer pressure. People trying to fit in. I mean, people today. I was with my former wife having dinner. Shan and I were having dinner a couple nights ago, and we're at La Chocolate in downtown Naperville having coffee and chocolate after having dinner. And I said, Shannon, turn around. There's two tables of kids, 15 to 20 years old, and all they were doing was playing on their cell phones. They don't even know how to have a conversation anymore today. But if I know how to work this thing properly, I can get on the dark net and order whatever I want. I don't even have to go to the west side of Chicago.
It's that easy to get heroin.
All day long.
God, am I completely naive?
I can walk out of this station, and I guarantee you within a half hour, I'll have heroin. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. I'll walk right down under Lower Wacker Drive by the Billy Goat Tavern. I guarantee you within 20 minutes, I'll have heroin. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm.
Can you stay for a little bit, Tim?
Absolutely.
You're okay.
Sure.
Derek, you're okay?
Yep.
All right, let's do this. There's a bunch of great phone calls and great texts we've not gotten to, and I want to get to
them. Let's get to them.
Debbie especially. Debbie, if you can hear me, stay on the line because Tim just touched a little bit on what you're asking, but it's a very important question. 312-981-7200, that's how you reach us. We'll take a break for news and then more with Tim Ryan, A Man in Recovery. A couple ways to reach Tim. You want to go to AMIRF.org. Again, AMIRF.org. You can also call them at 844-611-HOPE. That's 844-611-4673. We'll pick this up right after the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Bill Leff. And we are talking with Tim Ryan. He has a Man in Recovery Foundation and has helped numerous people. We're talking about this huge epidemic that's only getting worse, and that's heroin. Derek is also here. You're a year sober?
Just under a year, 11 months.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Does it get any easier?
Oh, 100%. See, for me, what I had noticed is I had this 30, 60, 90 out routine. I would get clean for 30 days, I'd go back out. I'd get clean for 60 days, I'd go back out. I'd give it for 90 days. So finally, this time when I went to treatment, you know, my therapist sat me down and said, listen to me, Mr. Horan. He's like, you don't know me, but I know you very well because you've been here countless times. He said, let me tell you something. You're pretty much nothing. You're not going to amount to anything unless you stop getting high and stop coming back to treatment. And you know, that for me was a huge pill to swallow.
It opened your eyes.
Yeah. It was a huge pill.
But you knew that, Derek. That's not a surprise. It was just hearing somebody say it.
Exactly. Yeah. I just needed that thrown in my face like that so I can swallow that pill finally and finally realize that, you know, I can't keep doing this or else my life will never change.
And once you give it a shot and take the suggestions, you see the miracles start to happen.
Yep.
How many times were you in treatment?
16 detoxes and about 13 treatment
centers. Holy moly.
Yeah, I've been through it.
I wanted to ask you that because there are people listening who their kids have been through treatment once and it didn't work and that's it. You know, it's a wash. Where it's going to take, you know, sometimes more than once.
Absolutely. You know, there are people who get it their first time. There are people like me who have to go through it countless times. But the thing is, it's finally when you put your hands up and realize, like, okay, I can't do this by myself and my thinking doesn't work. Maybe I should listen to somebody else who has been there and done that because they've obviously, you know, recovered and gotten better.
Right.
All right. Debbie has been on hold. Debbie, you have a question for Tim Ryan. Go ahead.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Deb.
Question. My son has been in and out of rehab and had been in trouble since high school, was expelled. Expelled. There you go. And he's 21 right now. He's had a problem with alcohol. And unbeknownst to me, he was doing a lot of cocaine as well, and all the time doing pot. So my question to you is, as a parent, what's it going to take? He's gotten in trouble with the law. He's gotten in fights. What's it going to take for him? He's strictly now only smoking pot, and he tells me to stop talking about it. It's no big deal.
Well, you know, that's his journey. But what for myself, I did cocaine. I did alcohol. I smoked weed. But what I would ask your son is, why do you even need to alter your mind with weed when you know the alcohol and cocaine have been an issue? Mm-hmm. And quit selling yourself short and give recovery a shot. My motto is, give me 90 days to work with you. If at 90 days your life hasn't got better, I'll refund all your misery back free of charge. But give it a shot. I'd love to talk with your son, meet with him. There's a lot of similarities in just what you've told me in a very short amount of time. But he might not have had enough pain yet. And the pot might work for a while, but I guarantee you he will go back. He will go back to the drinking. And it's like being a heroin addict. People will quit and try other things, but you will ultimately gravitate back towards your drug of choice.
And that would be, actually, he loves alcohol, loves it.
So. Yeah, and you know, if you sober up a horse thief, what do you have? You have a sober horse thief, so that thief needs to work on their thinking. And that's what I needed to change was every aspect of my life and my thinking.
People, what can I do for him? Like, do I give him your number?
Yeah, absolutely. Give him my number. And for yourself, get yourself into some type of support group. Al-Anon, Families Anonymous, Nar-Anon. Go to our website. We run a number of support groups throughout the suburbs. And come in. You're not alone. But you didn't cause this. You can't cure it. You can't control it. What you can do is contribute to it by enabling it. And don't enable and let him take the path of his journey. And let's hope for the best.
Okay. I definitely will give him your number, which you have that on Man in Recovery.
Yep. It's 844-611-4673.
844-611-HOPE. Debbie, good luck and keep fighting.
Thank you so much.
I know you don't know the exact numbers, or maybe you do, Tim, but the majority of people who are having problems with heroin also had or have problems with marijuana and with alcohol?
Well, no. They all started smoking. A majority all started smoking marijuana. A lot of the people I work with today, some of them never even drank alcohol. They literally went from weed to pills to heroin.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean everyone that smokes weed's going to become a heroin addict. 90% of the people won't. But do you want to dance in that 10% threshold?
Yeah.
All right. Your story in a nutshell for people who haven't heard you on our show before. You used heroin. You did heroin with your son, Nick.
Yep.
You lost everything, including your son and your wife, Shannon, who is on the line with us right now. Shannon, nice to meet you. Sorry it's under these circumstances, but I have to ask you a question. I just would hate Tim. I don't know how you could forgive Tim. Did you go through the hating of him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hated him for a long time, and I think Tim will even attest to you that I still have troubles with the forgiveness aspect of everything that his addiction has done to us.
I destroyed her world.
But, again, to say it was Tim that destroyed the world, or was it the addiction that destroyed my world? I do understand that he was out of control, you know, and that took me a long time to come to grips with, especially as someone who is not an addict. I never understood how he drank so much, you know. I have three beers and it's like, oh, I can't drink anymore. You know,
Shannon, was Tim using heroin unbeknownst to you? Did he really get by where you were completely unaware of the fact that he was doing heroin?
He was doing heroin for a year before I knew, and that's I only knew because he told me. I thought something medical was going on with him.
Because I would get sick every 3 or 4 weeks. The poor lady was on the internet trying to figure out what was wrong, and I actually called my drug dealer, and he said, go to the methadone clinic. So I got on methadone. I got honest with Shannon. And then I can remember about 5 months into the methadone, she said, you've got to get off this. You're evil. And I went back to heroin. Then I tried getting on Suboxone. I mean, Christ, this lady was going to send me to Tibet to live with the Buddhist monks. Her whole day revolved around trying to find me help and resources. And I'd quit for a little bit and I would go back. But my whole life was a lie. And then ultimately, Nicholas followed in my footsteps. And prior to me going to prison the last 8 months, you know, my son and I used drugs together. And then I went to prison and Shannon was stuck picking up my mess, having to move out of our beautiful house that was foreclosed on, move into her mom's house in a 2-bedroom townhouse with our kids. Nick was in active addiction. When I got out of prison, Shannon had a townhouse set up for me, picked me up, had all our furniture in there.
But yet the marriage was over. She left you.
And
why wouldn't you? I'm sorry. I'm just an outsider looking in. But Shannon, did you blame Tim at all for Nick's drug use?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I still do.
How do you guys talk to each other right now? I mean, you're not married now, but you're both helping each other.
Shannon's my best friend in the world.
Well, if I let that resentment and that anger and that hatred build up in me, it's only going to eat me up.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, Shannon, is the rest of the family okay that you still have a relationship? Is that all right with the rest of your family?
Well, you mean like with my kids?
Well, not just your kids, but I don't know if your parents are still around or anybody else, but are they a little upset?
My parents are gone. My family is not a fan of Tim's.
Yeah.
They are having a little bit harder time moving past it.
Yeah.
Which I can see. But, you know, he's doing good things now. You know,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't keep holding this against him.
But look at all this family has lost. Shannon, you and Tim have lost so much, Nick, and just everything, and now you're picking up the pieces. You're still divorced, but you help one another through all this.
We have three other kids together,
I know.
I mean, Shannon, you've got to understand, when I was in Sheridan Correctional Center, I did my time by watching the corn grow, get cut down, but that lady brought two of our kids to visit me every 2 weeks for 13 and a half months. She took my phone calls. She helped me get through that. And then she was excited when I was getting out. And, you know, and then Nick died, you know, on my 21-month sobriety date. And I can remember 2 weeks after that, Shannon and I had lunched at downtown Naperville at Potbelly's. And we were talking and she said, Tim, for once in my life, I'm behind you 1,000%. And I get emotional talking about it. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, I want you to go forward with your foundation. And she said, I truly believe God put Nick and I in your life for a reason and had you go through your struggles and Nick go through his for him to pass on to set the stage for what you're going to do next. And I don't ever want anyone to go through what that heroin took me, her husband, her house, and her firstborn child. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. And behind the scenes, Shannon's my biggest fan.
Shannon, you're quite an amazing woman, and I know this is very emotional for both of you, but if anyone's listening right now to show that there is hope at the end of the tunnel, you guys prove it.
Yeah, and you know, Shannon's, when I went to prison the first time in 08, I got out after 64 days, and Shannon sat me down. She said, Tim, you know, I went and applied for a Dunham scholarship, and I got a full ride scholarship to nursing school. And I remember saying, you don't need to work, and I make money. And she said, Tim, the way you're living, you're going to end up in two places. You're going to end up dead or back in prison, and we got four kids to take care of, and I can't rely on you. And she was right. You know, that lady graduated top of her class. I didn't even show up to her graduation. I put her through living hell. My mission now is to support her in any way, shape. I will support her the rest of my life. She could quit her job tomorrow and I will take care of her. I am indebted to that lady. And people don't understand the dynamics of everything. I love Shannon unconditionally. I always will. And I'm just grateful that she's in my life and has always supported me through everything.
You're lucky she's in your life.
She is an angel on earth, and I love her more than anything.
Shannon, we know you're at work, and you have to get back to it, but honestly, it's so nice to talk to you. We've talked to Tim on numerous occasions. You're a magnificent woman.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Shannon.
See ya.
Let's do this. We need to take a quick break.
Wow.
And then more discussion about the darkness of heroin. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. We have calls and texts that we'll get to next. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Tim Ryan is here and Derek is here. Two people who have certainly had their battles with heroin and heroin addiction. Now they're helping people. A Man in Recovery is the name of the foundation. www.amirf.org. You can also call them at 844-611-HOPE.
All right. A couple more questions. We are running out of time. And as Bill pointed out, and we'll give the number again and website, you can reach out to Tim Ryan yourself. Kate, Tim Ryan, go ahead.
Yes. My daughter is 19 years old. She smokes pot. I know she's done ecstasy. She also has prostituted herself. She's been opening up to me a little bit more.
Is this the first time she has spoken to you about this?
No. It's actually the last time she did it was over 6 months ago. She had a gun put to her head. And she never did it after that. And she's telling me. But I'm saying with the... I think she smokes pot because I smoked pot when I was young. And it takes you away.
I'm going to be real honest with you. I would assume if I'm a bet man, if your daughter was prostituting herself, she was doing a lot more than smoking pot and ecstasy. She was either doing cocaine, smoking cocaine, or doing heroin. You don't go to the depths of prostituting yourself just to make money. You are doing it to support a severe drug habit. And you need to understand everything that comes out of an addict's mouth is a lie. If their lips are moving, they're lying.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Kate, what are you kind of asking, what do you do now? Does she want to get help? I can't even imagine the position you're in, Kate.
No, because, I mean, it. I think about this constantly, and I'm like, I wasn't there for her. I couldn't protect her. And, you know, it's all about money. I mean, you know, I couldn't give money at that time. And it actually all started when a long time ago, like 4 years ago, I got evicted I was in a bad state myself. She had to go live with her dad, who was living at some guy's house that she knew very well.
Kate, you can't. I mean, Tim, you can say this. Kate is not responsible.
You didn't cause this. You know, there's a lot of people that come from very bad and difficult situations that don't become drug addicts. You know, do not blame yourself. You didn't cause this. You can't cure it. You can't control it. For whatever reason, your daughter wanted to experience, was rebelling, tried some things, and has unleashed a monster right now. But that's where I would suggest you get into some support groups, Al-Anon, Nar-Anon, Families Anonymous, see a therapist, and have your daughter reach out to us, and we'd be glad to send some of our associates to meet with her, talk with her,
and
let her know that she's not alone. That's the problem. As an addict, you think there's no one to help, and that's what we do. We come in and help, and all we do is guide and direct. Whether they choose to help or not, that's up to them.
But some of them don't know where to turn or what to do.
We can do all that.
Kate, write this number down, or you can go to the website. It's 844-611-HOPE. 844-611-4673. Call Tim Ryan. Tell him your name is Kate and you are on the air with us, and he will do whatever he can to set your daughter up, and you cannot blame yourself.
No, glad to help.
No, I thank you very much, and I've been told, you know, from my husband, you know, she's going to do what she does and that. And I have no control over it. She's a good kid. Sure.
All addicts are good people, but if she's living in your house, it's your house, it's your rules. Drug test
her.
She's not living in my house anymore. She's actually living with somebody that's quite older than her.
Well, I would see if she'd be willing to talk to us, and we'll do the best we can.
Good luck, Kate.
Thank you.
This is tough.
Yeah.
Kate, thank you so much.
Tim, really quickly, there's a show on that I watch on CNN called This Is Life. Lisa Ling is the host of the show. It's really good, and each episode they tackle a different subject matter or problem. One of them was heroin, so the story took place here in Chicago.
I hooked her up with 90% of the people
I know
that
you
show.
Did, because I watched the credits. There were four different stories of people going through heroin-based problems, and I was writing down names for you because I said, I know a guy who hopefully can help these, and then I watched the credits, and I saw a man in recovery listed in
Lisa,
the credits.
I actually had dinner with her, super nice lady. I helped him find a majority of the people to be in that, and they wanted me to be in it, but I'm under contract with another network now, so I couldn't. But that story kind of portrayed the minority aspect, and this affects everybody. It doesn't matter race, creed, financial status.
Well, they even showed a guy who is an officer of the law, whose job it is to find...
That's Conrad. And Conrad's daughter, Alexis, was Nick's girlfriend.
Was
there when my son died. And she's now doing well. I think she's about 85 days sober. I've had her in treatment a number of times. Conrad's one of my dear friends. They attend my support group. So, yeah, this stuff's emotional, and it's people think I got this glamorous life, and it's a life of roses. It's black roses. I deal with death and heartache and tragedy on a daily basis, but when I can look to my right and see Derek, who I love like a son, coming up on a year sober, that's why I do what I do.
Good.
And, you know, real quick, you had brought up an article that was wrote on me. It was portrayed in a substance abuse magazine, called me a snake oil salesman.
Yep.
And this person who interviewed me talked to me a little bit, but they knew nothing about me. And they said that I set up my support groups and my foundation as a front for Banyan. I had all this first, and I stumbled into working for Banyan. But people are going to hate because they're jealous of what you're doing. You know, I'm a full-time salaried employee with Banyan Treatment Center.
You always disclose that.
Yeah, I don't get a commission. I don't get a bonus. I don't have a quota. Whether I put two people in or 100, it doesn't matter. And then I get to help all these other people with Man and Recovery Foundation. Mm-hmm. And a majority of the funds that are raised are through my personal speaking events. If you want me to come speak at a high school community forum, we do that. I charge for it. That money goes into the foundation. We give it all away. You know, so people can say what they say. They're going to hate if they want. I could care less.
And you've helped so many people, and there are just real quickly, and we have to let you go. Somebody's like just texted saying, you know, I want to remain anonymous. Can I still call you?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, and please understand, if you reach out to me through the website, email, or call me, it's 100% confidential. Mm-hmm. I don't share with anyone. I've had, believe me, if I told you the people I work with, your heads would roll. Very
it's
powerful
everywhere.
People. This is everywhere. But, you know, if you need help, you got good insurance, look up Banyan Treatment Center, Banyan Chicago. Look up a Man in Recovery Foundation. We're just here to help, man. And I thank you, Bill and Wendy, for being on the forefront of this, talking about this, bringing us on. I'm sick of burying people, and it's getting worse. We need to do so much more.
Thank you for all you do, and Derek, continued success.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go to amaninrecoveryfoundation.org, AMIRF.org, or call 844-611-HOPE.
All right, we'll take a quick break, then news, then the rest of the show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.